December is our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and our goal is $1,500. And as the video shows there, the importance of the Lottie Moon for international missions. So we have a little over $500. We have five candles lit. Please continue to be in prayer for the offering, and give as the Lord leads you in our offering on that. Do not forget today our fellowship meal after the morning service, so please stay with us and enjoy that time of fellowship. Also today, if you would like to go caroling, meet here at the church at 4 p.m., and we'll go caroling, and this will be our evening services. I also understand that we will have some finger foods or snacks after the caroling service, so please join us for that. This Wednesday, it's hard to believe, but Wednesday is Christmas Eve, y'all. Monday, Tuesday, 3 days. 6 p.m. we'll have our candlelight service and Lord's Supper in the original church. Please come and celebrate that with us as that special worship service that we will have Wednesday night. Sunday, January 4th at 9:30 a.m. is breakfast in the fellowship hall. And then on January 7th, that's Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., fellowship meal and church conference. Thursday, January 15th, 6:30 p.m. is the Grady County Baptist Association men's meeting. And at the present time, I understand it's going to be at Pine Park. Have you heard anything different?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Tentatively, I put it as Pine Park. But if that changes, we'll let you know. I should know something hopefully next week to make sure that's right. Tuesday, January the 20th, 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting. And Thursday, January the 22nd, 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Katie, Susan.
Susan?
Katie.
Katie? Birthdays? What?
Yeah.
Michaela's in the back, I think, with Mary.
She's back.
So last week, well, I mean, went before that.
Her birthday, a lot of December birthdays. So let's sing happy birthday to Susan, Katie, and Michaela.
All right, everybody in the key of G, you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
As we go to our Lord in prayer to open up our worship service this morning, one thing that was said in our Sunday school class as we studied the wise men and their gifts, one writer has said that wise men, wise women, still worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're here today to worship our Lord, you are wise. So let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, this Sunday before Christmas, Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we have gathered here today to truly do that, Lord, to worship Him, and to give Him all the glory and to give Him all the praise, Lord. And yes, Lord, to bring Him gifts, Lord, as the wise men did, Lord. And Lord, I just lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word, Lord, today. I just pray, Lord, that if they are lost out here today, Lord, that we know, as we saw on the video, Lord, that we need to hear the word, Lord. We need to hear the gospel, Lord. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, Lord, and to make the right decision in accepting Christ. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, we are here to worship you and you alone today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you can this morning, please stand as we worship together, singing hymn 87, Joy to the World. Let earth receive.
Thank you. Father God, we again just thank you for this privilege of coming together to worship corporately our Savior, Lord. We thank you for his birth as a man, that he lived without sin, Lord, and that he gave his life to rescue us from sin. Lord, we come at this time, we give our tithes and offering, and Lord, we pray it be used to glorify your kingdom. We pray that you'll be with Tim as he brings the message that you prepared for us. And Lord, we pray that we'll be receptive. Now guide and direct us and help us to worship you and praise to our Savior. In Christ's name, amen.
Savior, and as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, I hope, and only in the beginning of December, I begin to read through all four gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus, the story, the wise men, because they each one of the gospel writers, Mark doesn't say much right about the birth of Christ, but Matthew and Luke and John do. But as you read through there, you kind of get different bits and pieces of the Christmas story. And it's always interesting to go back and look at all that has come together that's been being prophesied since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and how God would crush the head of the serpent by the heel of the woman, and meaning that the seed would come through her to deliver God's people from their sins. But as you read through the Bible, you often read the Old Testament, and when you get to the Old Testament, to the last part of Malachi, you kind of forget, and you just think that all of a sudden from Malachi you start Matthew. Can I tell you that's not true? There's a period of about 400 years of silence, because there were all these prophecies, you know, all the history of the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews, and you get to Malachi, and you think, well, everything's good, and then all of a sudden, the next day, here's Matthew. But there's 400 years of silence there that, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes if I'm waiting in line at a drive-thru, if it's more than 4 minutes, I'm ready to go, right?
That's right, I did that last night. But anyhow, got 400 years. What would you think if God had told you, well, I'm gonna fulfill my promise, but you gotta wait 400 years? Would we lose hope? I think a lot of times we probably would do so, but there's this time frame of 400 years, and then all of a sudden, an angel shows up to John the Baptist's dad and tells him that he's going to have a son, and that this son, John the Baptist, would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And so you hear about that, then all of a sudden there's this angel named Gabriel that shows up to Mary, a young teenage girl, and tells her she is going to bear a child and that this child, Jesus, would be the Messiah. And so all of a sudden you have all this activity going on after 400 years of basically nothing but time passing by. But God was still working, and that's a lesson for us to realize. God has never not fulfilled his promise. And we can always look to God doing the same in our lives. So when things seem to be quiet, don't think that God's not there. He's still working. He's working behind the scenes to bring everything together. I want us this morning to read the Christmas story. And basically today is on Mary. So Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 38. We're going to read this and then we're going to jump in and see how we can apply this passage, and especially dealing with Mary. And Wednesday night we'll do more of the birth of Jesus as it comes into Christmas Eve. But that's what it says. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Fathers, we have read, Lord, the announcement of our Savior's birth to Mary and the details around it. Lord, I pray, Lord, knowing the God that you have a plan and purpose for every single one of us. But Lord, today, this morning, help us to look into our hearts and lives, because many of us, Lord, if we are truthful with ourselves, if we were truthful with you, Lord, we would say, who am I to be used by God? Lord, I pray this morning that we would just take inventory of our own lives, Lord, and see in Mary, Lord, what is also possibly true within ourselves, Lord. I pray as we study your word this morning, Lord, that you give us insight, give us wisdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, could you imagine maybe you're in your house and all of a sudden nobody's there and you turn around and hear somebody standing in your living room, right? Now, just see, because we have a very wrong misunderstanding of who angels are, because we always see them dressed in what? White. Is that really, you go back and study the Old Testament, do you see anywhere in the Old Testament where angels wore white robes? When they showed up, they looked like people. Right? Now, there was some mighty warrior-looking people, too, and some had six wings, and, you know, some had eyes looking all around, and so you see those, but here's all of a sudden a messenger of God standing in Mary's house, and he begins to talk to her. Now, if you were Mary, how would you respond? Some of y'all go get you done, right? But what was she afraid? Was she excited? Was she alarmed? I think she was all of those things, because one of the first things the angel tells her is what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And as we look at Mary, we can understand why she would be afraid, why she would be alarmed. But at the same time, by the time we finish our reading then, Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we find that Mary has gone from being afraid to saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." When Jesus called his disciples, did he tell them where they were going? He just said, "Come follow me." When he called Abraham in the Old Testament, or Abram before he called him Abraham, but he just said, "Follow me to the place I'm going to show you," right? What about us? We often say, well, you know, when we give our heart and lives to the Lord and we say, "Okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go." But what often happens in between that time of salvation and later on in life? What happens? I think we have a mindset that somehow we don't have the humility that Mary had, because she says, "Let it be according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." In other words, I'm going to believe, right? I'm going to believe that what you say is true, because Mary was old enough to know that unless you or with a man, you can't get pregnant, right? Because she throws that out. How can this be? You know, I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. I've never been intimate with a man. And so how can this happen? The angel wasn't trying to hide anything. He tells her exactly what's going to happen. How it's going to happen. And that the child she would conceive and give birth to would be the Savior of mankind. But as we think about Mary, we think about the greeting that the angel speaks to Mary, the angel Gabriel. He tells her that she has found favor with who? With God. She has found favor with God. Now, let's think this through for just a moment. Mary has found favor with God, but she, let's go down the list. She is a young mother. She's a young teenager, as we talked about before. It is very possible that Mary was somewhere between 12 and 14 years of age. Did she get pregnant when she was this? I don't know. But it just tells us generally that this was in a short period of time that this happened. But here's Mary. She's a young, pregnant teenager. She is pregnant out of wedlock, because remember, who was she engaged to? Joseph, but they have not came together for the marriage at this point. So she's about to strike out, right? She's a teenager. She's out of wedlock. She was poor, right? She was poor. At the end of all things, she is pregnant. She has to go to Bethlehem with her husband Joseph, because now they have got married and they go to Bethlehem, and there's no place for them in the inn, and so she has to deliver the Son of God where? In a stable of all places. Now, as we think about that, we think about Mary has found favor with God, but now she has to leave everything and everybody she knows. But yet she's found favor with God, right? Does that sound like favor of God with you? Let's think about it a little more. She found favor with God, but even at the eighth day, she and Joseph take Jesus to have him circumcised. They run into a man named Simeon who talks about how that even with Jesus, the Messiah that God had allowed him to see before he died, that Mary's heart would be pierced through with a sword. That he would cause the rise and fall of many. And we see Anna, the prophetess, who sees Jesus as well. But all of this, we realize that Mary is going to have to see her son ridiculed, beaten, scourged, and crucified. But yet she found favor with God. Does that sound like favor to you? No, it does. She would see her son crucified simply for being the Son of God. But Mary was highly favored because she believed God through faith. Faith changes things, amen? Faith changes things because faith tells us when something seems impossible that there is still a possibility. Mary, and everything from her eyes, if Mary was to somehow fast forward through her life and be able to see everything, and then go back to the day the angel shows up at her house, would Mary call herself, have thought of herself as being highly favored of God? You see, we all go through things in life, don't we? Things that come up, things out of the blue. But you can look at things from a negative point of view. And Mary could very well have said, you know, I'm not going to do this. This ain't worth it. You know, I'm not favored by God, because a lot of us think that if things aren't going our way, then God must be angry at us. Amen? Some of us listen to prosperity preachers that tell us as long as you have enough faith, you're never going to have problems. Explain Mary's story to me now. Amen? That's the most basic story in the Bible. Everybody knows it, right? Not everybody. Most people know the story of Mary and the birth of Jesus. Tell me how she didn't have faith, but yet she suffered as a mother would with a child who is growing up. She has been placed in charge. She has found favor with God. But she did all this through faith. It was impossible in the human sense for a virgin birth, but nothing is impossible with God. Right? It's right there in Scripture we just read. Nothing is impossible with God. She was highly favored through faith. But how can we be highly favored of God? I think if we really stop and think about it, we can be highly favored by God through faith by believing. You say, well, that kind of, you know, what you just said, I know. But see, if you don't think God can use you, what are you going to do? I'm going to open the floor. If you don't think God can use you, what are you going to do? Nothing. Not anything. Right? You're going to sit there while they used to go like a bump on the log. I don't know what that means, but it's a bump on the log, right? You're just going to sit there because you don't think God can use you. Did Mary have that attitude? Mary said she heard, she didn't understand everything, right? She didn't understand it all. Even though the angels tried to explain, I'm still thinking Mary's like, what are you talking about, right? But she believed, and because she had faith, God was able to use her. So that tells me that if you and I believe, right, because faith is more than just a mental assent, agreeing with something, faith is truly saying, God, I don't know where you're going to send me, I don't know who you want me to talk to, but God, I want to do it. Let it be to me according to your word. Lord, I believe you enough to allow you to use me. Because isn't that what faith really is? It's not about doing everything on your own. It's about doing what God wants us to do when he wants us to do it. So we have to say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Mary was young, yes. She was young. But you know what that tells me? Young people that are here today, you're not too young for God to use you. Can I tell you something else? Y'all listen carefully. Because here's what happens. Y'all listen up back there. Y'all listen up, okay? Get off your phones. Listen. You're never too young to be used by God. But here's the problem. You'll be 16, 18 today. Next thing you know, come on, y'all that are a little bit older. What? You're in your 20s, you can't wait to be 21. And then you hit 21, and next thing you know, you're 30. Amen? Next thing you know, you're 50 and you got grandbabies running around. And you thought you would have more time when you got older, but what is the reality? Let God use you right now today. Because every day, every minute that passes by is another day that we have not allowed God to use us. And what happens for many of us is we go through our life and we get to be 50, 60, 70 years old, and we can't do what we used to could do. You say, well, I'll have more time on my hands when I retire. Ask anybody that's retired if they got more time. You got the same time today with your 15 or 30 or 45 or 65 or 105. You've got the same amount of time, seconds, minutes, hours in the day as anybody else. And if you waste them when you're 15 and you waste them when you're 30 and you waste those minutes and hours when you're 105, guess what? You never get them back. Let God use you. I think about Mary was young. But then we think about Zacharias and Elizabeth. These were two old people. And guess what they did? They let God use them too, right? They let God use them also. Don't think you're too young or too old to be used by God. Here's an excuse a lot of us have. Well, I don't have money. If I just had more money, I would serve God. Y'all don't raise your hands, but have we ever thought about that? If I won the lottery, really? If you won't give to the Lord now, you won't give to him when you got a lot of money either, okay? Because you don't trust him. If that hurts, I'm sorry. It just was there. Mary was poor. So, well, how do you know she was poor? Well, I do know that on the eighth day when they came to have Jesus circumcised, instead of bringing an unblemished lamb and a dove or a pigeon for the offering, they had to bring two pigeons out because they didn't have the money. And that was the law was, if the law was set to where if you have a lot of money, you could offer a bull, a lamb, you. That was the sin offering. That was to cover the sin of the birth. And so anyhow, as you go through, it would have a provision. So the law was not for the poor man where you got to bring a bull or you can't. No, it was always made a way that no matter who you were, you could bring the offering to the Lord. And that is still true even for us today. So we're never too poor to be used by God. Mary was from Nazareth, of all places. But here's the thing. Nazareth had a bad reputation. Here's what's interesting. When I go around and meet people living places, and they say, well, where's that? And I say, I'm in Wiggum. They say, they really had a rattlesnake around that thing? Everybody. Y'all know what I mean? What is Wiggum known for? Rattlesnakes. Think about that in Nazareth. Remember when Philip, and I think it was Nathaniel, right? And Philip told him about Jesus, and they said, Jesus from Nazareth, and they said, can anything good come from Nazareth, right? So Nazareth was not the top place, you know, in the country. It wasn't the top place in the state. It wasn't like Atlanta. You know, everybody say Atlanta. Everybody knows what Atlanta is, where it is, who you know, who's who there. But you say Wiggum and rattlesnakes. You know, can anything good come from this place? So here's the thought here. Mary was young. She was poor. She was from the wrong place. Right? She was from the wrong place. Because what good can come from there? As we think about that, you say, well, you know, I'm young, I'm old, I want to be used by God, but then I don't have any money, so I can't let God use it, so I can't afford to do it. You say, well, I'm from the wrong place. Got three strikes against us already, but no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter where you come from, God can use you if you'll just simply say, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Lord, just however I am, where I come from, how much money I have or don't have, Lord, use me. But most of us want to give excuse. Say, so, well, it's just the wrong time. Was it a good time for Mary? Think about this. She was highly favored by God, but God changed all of her plans. Right? Here was Mary. She was fixing. She was engaged. She was fixing to get married, right? She was betrothed. Matter of fact, it was already a legal contract. They just haven't consummated everything. The vows hadn't quite been exchanged. Because if, as the Gospel of Matthew tells us, if Joseph would have decided to put her away secretly, he would have had to divorce her. That's how legal it was back then. It's not like today where you just engage and say, well, I'm tired of it. Here's your ring back. Or I'm going to keep your ring in pocket, right? It wasn't like that. It was a legal agreement that had to be settled in usually at the city gates in Jerusalem is where most of that business took place at. But here's the thing. Mary knew something. Mary knew something I think we need to focus on too. Mary believed God and the angel, and she let it be to me according to your word. But she also heard the angel say that God was with her. Can I tell you today, no matter what situation you're going through in life, because we're all somewhere, right? As I've said before, you're either going in a storm, you're in the middle of the storm, or you're just coming out of a storm, right? That's how life works. There's no in between. There's one, two, three. That's it. You're going at it, you're in it, or you're coming at it. And it seems like as soon as you come out of it, what happens? You start over again, right? That's how life works. But here's the reality. No matter the situation you find yourself in, if you have asked Jesus Christ into your heart and soul, and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, God's promise is that He is with you. Right? He's with you. What can man do to me? No matter what we're going through, no matter what problems we face, God is with. Matter of fact, I think some of the most comforting words come from verses like Psalm 118, verse 6. It says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" You worried about something? If we prayed as much as we worried, we'd worry a whole lot less. Amen? But most of us, we worry and then we get fixated on the word, and we're more worried about worrying than we are about praying. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Mary, God didn't say, "Okay, Mary, this is what's going to happen. You're going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit. You're going to go through life, and you're going to have all these troubles and trials, and you're going to have to move around. You're going to leave your family and friends, and you're going to have to go to this place and this place. You always going to have to worry about somebody trying to kill your child." Right? He didn't tell them that. He simply said, "The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me." And Mary believed it. Mary believed it in her heart. She believed it in her life. In Romans 8:31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is with us, who can be against us? I think about the name that was given to Jesus. And it was, we were told that it says that He was to be called Emmanuel. Right? Emmanuel. We sing songs about Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Here is the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the angel is telling Mary, "Lord's with you." But you know that is true for us who are in Christ today. The Lord is with us. Oh, it doesn't mean we're free from troubles and trials and situations and circumstances. It just simply means that God is with us there to walk us through those times. But can I also tell you one other thing? The story of Mary tells us that God will always do what He says. How do I know that? Because God cannot tell a lie. Right? We've been studying that through Hebrews, through the book of Galatians. God cannot lie. God's not going to tell you something and then back away from it. But just like, you know, Paul was talking about the annulling of the promise. That people thought that the law superseded the promise of God, and that is not so. God makes a promise and He keeps His promise. I think about the miracle babies in the Bible, and I'm sure you can find more of them. But in Genesis chapter 17, how Abraham and Sarah took God nearly 100 years, well, 25, from the time He made the promise to Abraham, because he was 75 at that time. And by the time Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old, so 25 years. But God didn't lie, did He? He didn't lie. The promise was fulfilled. In Judges chapter 13, Manoah and his barren wife, they'd have a special son, and his name would be Samson, and for a while he would be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. We think about the faithful prayers of Hannah, and her son that would be born to her would be named Samuel, who would be a judge and anointer of kings. We find the announcement that we talked about already about Zacharias and Elizabeth and how the angel of the Lord told them that they would be the parents of the forerunner of Christ, the Messiah. He would proclaim the way of the Lord, turn the people's hearts back to the Lord in repentance. All those were special pregnancies, special births, but Jesus was different. How was he different? He was different because of his virgin birth. And you say, why does that matter? Because as you study scripture, you find that sin is passed down through who? The fathers, right? Now, that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. So I thought Eve ate of the fruit. She did. She was deceived. Adam, on the other hand, was Adam deceived when he ate the fruit? He knew what he was doing. He knew that in the moment he ate of that fruit, he was going to die because God told him directly. And I'm sure Eve was standing there when God told him, right? She heard the message, but God was speaking to Abraham. So here's the reality. Adam, knowingly, willingly, lovingly ate that fruit. Because if he had not have eaten the fruit with Eve, could she have ever been redeemed? Ooh, that's a big theological thing. But here's my point. Sin is passed down through human fathers. Because even says in Exodus 20 that sins of the fathers will be passed down how many generations? To third and fourth generations. The Holy Spirit conceived in Mary the seed that God had foretold of, as already said in Genesis chapter 3. That seed is Jesus himself. And through that virgin birth, Jesus did not inherit the sin nature of a human father. And because of that, he was able to withstand. But we also realize in Hebrews that he was tempted in all things just as we are. And in Hebrews 4:15, I think it is. That in all things he was tempted just like we are, but yet without what? Without sin. He was the unblemished lamb. As John mentioned, and even in Sunday school this morning we talked about, Jesus was the lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. All this came about, though, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. At just the right moment in history, God sent Jesus to be the Savior of us. Why? Because we all need a Savior. We are all sinners. And we all need somebody to take our place, because without Jesus in our hearts and lives, we must bear the burden, the penalty, the debt of our sin. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. That's what Jeremiah said. He says, oh Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power, it outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You say, well, Brother Tim, you don't know what I've done. I don't. But I know nothing's too hard for the Lord to save you. You say, well, you don't know how poor I am. God's not impressed by your wealth. Amen. So, well, Brother Tim, I just don't. You don't know. I don't. What, you can name whatever you want to name. Nothing's too hard for God. You're never too far gone for God to save you. You're never too young for God to use you. You're never too poor for God to use you. You're never from the wrong place for God to use you. You just simply need to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for wasting my life. Forgive me for just not believing. If you read on down in this same chapter that we're in, chapter 2, you'll find Mary singing a song of praise. I encourage you to read it. Read it. Not now. Read it this afternoon. Read it before Christmas. Read what Elizabeth tells Mary, because she says, blessed are you who believed. Do you believe this morning? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because I can tell you this straight up, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you can't celebrate Christmas. You can give all the gifts you want away and you can receive all the gifts. But if you haven't received the greatest gift of Jesus, then you can't celebrate Christmas. You just more or less have another birthday, right? What about us today? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and Him alone? If so, great. If not, I invite you, when the moment the music starts playing, to come down and talk to me. I can't save you, but I can show you who can. Maybe there's some of us today who say, you know, God's called me to do something and I've been struggling with it. I know He wants me to do it, but I just don't believe He can use me. I'm too young, I'm too poor, I'm from the wrong place. God can use you if you'll just say, let it be to me according to your word. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we close this service this morning, Lord, as we prepare our hearts and minds for Christmas, for the day we celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth, Lord, I pray for the one who may be here today who has never put their faith and trust in you. I pray for the ones, Lord, who have struggled in life, Lord, because they have simply not believed, Lord, in either who you are or what you have called them to do. Lord, I know that I've been there. We feel like we're too far gone and done too many wrong things. There's no way God could use us, but that's not true. Lord, I pray that today we would just simply all say, Lord, here I am. Lord, use me however you see fit. Lord, help me, even in the times when I doubt, Lord, to believe that there is nothing too hard for you. Lord, I just pray today that our hearts would be in tune with you as we go into these days leading up to Christmas. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray in Jesus' name.